Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Debrief. I'm your host, Luis, and today we're talking about related incidents. So recently, we went live with one of our biggest product launches to date, AI. And this product was unique in that it was broken up into four smaller projects: related incidents, which we're talking about here, suggested summaries, suggested follow-ups, and assistant. So naturally, my first question was, what was the biggest difference between these projects and what went into actually building out each of these features? So in this episode, I sat down with Rob and Isaac, both of which played a really critical role in the building out of related incidents, to get a peek behind the curtain. What went into building this feature out? What were our project timelines? What were some of the challenges we faced? What was it like learning the ropes of prompt engineering while building out related incidents? And a whole lot more. As an aside, if you want to learn more about each of these features, then you're in luck because we're actually releasing four mini episodes diving into each of them. So here we're talking about related incidents, but in the other episodes, we'll be talking about assistant, suggested follow-ups, and suggested summaries, each with the project leads of those products. But anyway, I think you're going to find this conversation really insightful. So here it is. Here's my conversation with Rob and Isaac. So thank you both for joining us today on The Debrief. I think it would make the most sense to start with intros just so that everybody can get acquainted with who exactly we're speaking with. So Isaac, let's start with you.
Cool. Yeah. So I'm Isaac. I've been a product engineer here for just over 2 years. So I've worked on like many things that time. Before I was doing AI stuff, I was working on status pages mostly. So making those really beautiful and fast and reliable. And then now I've actually moved off the AI team onto back onto some other stuff related to kind of workflows, that catalog. But I had around this time for a few weeks hanging out with the AI folks.
Cool. Yeah. And I'm Rob. I'm a member of the post-incident team. So dealing with everything that's sort of happening after an incident, your debriefs, your post-mortems. I've been here 9 months now, which is crazy. It doesn't feel like it's been that long at all. And yeah, I was a member, obviously, of the team whilst we were working on some of these AI features.
So I think it's fair to say that this feature release is very unique in that we had four different teams working on four different aspects of this project. You guys worked on the related incidents bit of our AI launch. So I'm mostly curious about how this project was different from the others. So what was the process behind this project? How was the team structured? Like, how did you guys decide on delivery timelines? Just like, I'd love a very general overview of what the related incidents project or how it played out.
Yeah, I think this one's interesting because the AI aspect of this was less complicated. Are these two things similar is a much simpler thing to get an AI to do for you than some of the stuff on like the assistant. It's like much more AI complicated. And so it would kind of, Ed, who I spoke to last week, had done a kind of bit of experimentation, taking all of our incident data and throwing it through these, one of these like comparison models, which call them embeddings normally, and finding patterns. And basically, like, can an AI tell you when two things are similar? Obviously, we've had, I think when he did this, we've done about 2,000 or 3,000 small incidents that we've run using our own product. So like, we have lots of data and it could find patterns in there. Like, Lucy from CS got stuck in the same meeting room when the door jammed twice. And it spotted that those were very similar and it went, oh, those are related. And so you can kind of do a bit of like, this is data, basically. Like, Ed is a data analyst and could use these tools to kind of prove that it's possible to do this kind of stuff. And then really there was a question of like, can we take, you know, an experiment for just our own data and can we apply that to all our customers' data or all the ones who opted into AI features? Which like was quite an easy answer, basically. It was like, can we take, for everyone who opts in, can we take all your incidents, generate some kind of representation of them, which we can quickly compare. Then the question is like, how do you make that actually useful to a real person? And I think that was the kind of harder bit here, was like, is it helpful if you're in the middle of an incident to be told, oh, this something similar happened 9 months ago? Is that something you want to know, or is that obstructive? And the real kind of awkward bit was when I ran away and left it to Rob to figure out, like, can we build something which which makes people like go like, wow, that's so helpful. I can fix this faster because I have the other thing. So that was the kind of timeline was like, I had spent a couple of days at a hackathon figuring out there's cool stuff we can do here. And then I spent about the best part of a week on my own while everyone else was working on suggested summaries. And so I was figuring out like, can we get this to a thing where we have it as like a tool we can just run, which is like, if I have an incident, can I ask the question, is there anything else similar to this? And then I think probably about a week for you to figure out like, how do we make this not annoying and just provide lots of value?
Yeah, I think the other interesting thing about this project was like the fact that by definition, you have to use almost all of the data, like when you start, because otherwise, unlike suggested summaries and follow-ups, you can kind of have little examples and get the AI to sort of go over that. Whereas relating stuff, it's quite hard to run across everything and see what you get back out. So I think that was kind of the big step was like, we need to just basically run it. We decided, I think, which is what you were doing kind of initially, just getting that sorted. I think, we had a week of sort of proving out the first version, getting some feedback, using it for ourselves mainly, and then trialing with some customers who were willing to sort of see if it was helpful. I think initially the feedback we got was kind of not as helpful as we would hope, which not surprising with all these AI things. It's kind of a very much you don't know until you try it. And I think the big learning there was kind of recency was a big factor in what we sort of iterated on was like, what is useful to know in an incident? Is it useful to know that 2 years ago, someone who's no longer at the company or that kind of thing had an incident and then they can't help you and there were no notes and like, that's not helpful at all. Whereas last week, did someone have this and you can go find them or you missed it because you weren't there, but like there are notes, there's a debrief. I think that was the big sort of realization was like narrowing down the focus a bit, made it into like a really useful thing. So yeah, it's probably about 2 weeks total.
I think that's actually a really good segue to another thing that I'm really curious about. How do you align on what good looks like? Like you said, like this feature was a little different in that it wasn't firmly planted in AI, although there are some AI elements in the picture. But still, how do you decide on what good looks like when there's so many unknowns and so many variables that are very new to both of you in this case?
A really good question. I don't know if we truly know, actually. I think it's, even now, I think we'll be happy to revisit it and tweak it and alter it. I think with all of the AI projects we've had, that lack of knowing, like having a definitive sort of finish to them is quite interesting as an engineer, because normally you like that sign off, I'm done now, never have to look at this thing again, people can happily use it. And I think a lot of these AI things are sort of 90% there, and that last 10% is just continual tweaking. So I think it's mainly around the feedback. We're gathering data on when people say that things aren't related that we saw being related. So taking that data and being like, well, why were they not similar? Or were they just not useful? You can have similarities and not be useful, I think is the issue here as well. Like we can spot, yes, this is identical. And the previous time you didn't solve the incident sort of you didn't really know what the cause was or something like that. I think it's mainly through feedback, mainly through talking to customers and getting their idea, using it ourselves. So we've had quite a lot of times now it's spotted a previous incident. It's been useful to sort of be able to go through those. So I think that's kind of a big justifier for us that it's working. But yeah, it's hard, I'll be honest, to tell to know what good is. It's really tricky. And that's quite frustrating, I'll be honest, as like an engineer when you're working on this stuff. You're like, am I done? I don't know. Got used to now working on several AI projects. That's been a common theme, I think, through them.
Yeah, cool. And then the other thing here is that like, this is not the last thing we'll do with knowing two things are similar. It's like, we wanted to find, there are basically like two things which we want to, or three things we want to do, right? It's like, can you take a big lump of text and turn it into small lump of text, which is summaries? Can we build a really cool like chatbot for insights that was assistant? And then this was like, we know OpenAI offer this tool, which is called Embeddings, and it can tell you if two things are similar. And it was like, the question is basically like, can we use that? And can we do something useful with it? And then like, once you have that in your toolkit, there's like other stuff we can build using the same kind of tool. And so really the question here was like, can we find we have this new tool in our toolbox. Can we work out like something good with it? And then once you've done the first thing, it causes you to do the second thing. And like, I think maybe that might be like, you know, in your insights, we might show you have like a bunch of instances around the same thing that might be powered by the same like stuff that powered those instances. But it's like, now that we've had a play with it and we've spent some time like figuring out how to give it the right data so that it can tell you the right stuff. Now that we've done a bit of that, we can like go faster on the next thing we build with this, like, I have two things. Are they similar? Are they totally different?
Rob, in your response just now, you mentioned us using using the product throughout the build. Isaac, I think you can answer this. Did we dog food this a little more than we normally would? Like, was the dog fooding a bit more rigorous given the complexities of this build?
I think rigorous is maybe the wrong way of thinking about it. It's like, the thing that I got working was extremely annoying and not very useful.
Yeah.
And so, like, we dog fooded it to ourselves and we're like, this is not great. and so, yes, we dog fooded it more, but not because we were like, we really want to get this perfect, but just we were like, this is not good enough to give to anyone apart from us. Yes. Like, this is both, it'll spot something when you're like, A, it would sometimes like not be very relevant. It would have spotted like the same keyword. And then you'd be like, sure, but that doesn't make them the same. So then we have to adjust our like how similar is useful. And then the stuff about recency that Rob talked about, like that there was basically like the first thing we put in our product was not good enough. And so we kept like trying it, getting feedback from the rest of the team who'd be like, I just got told this is related and it seems like ridiculous. And we were like, thank you so much. We'll go and figure out why and then like tweak it. And that's how the recency stuff came in, and like we adjusted how related they need to look. And then like a bunch of other tweaks, which were just like basically based on feedback from ourselves. And like, how do we give it to customers and they'd give us that feedback? I think I would have felt quite embarrassed about it, to be honest, because like some of it was really, really not unhelpful and like in getting in the way. And I think that is kind of different to like in general, with a lot of stuff, it's very predictable if you're building something. So you can kind of like, you can have those conversations before you build it, and you can know, right? You can say like, oh, these are my rules, and you can work and play through the rules with a bunch of examples as a team and go like, cool, these rules make sense. But because this is AI, there aren't rules. You can't open it up and be like, oh, this rule is not making sense here, I'm going to change that. You just have to kind of like try it. And so I think like it's very important to try it yourself, basically, because maybe you get really lucky and the first thing you build is incredibly good and like it's amazing, but you don't really know until you have tried it for a week or 2 weeks. You have to kind of build a thing, give it a week or two. Oh, we've got some like good feedback here and some bad feedback here. Let's have a little like tweak and then like do a few rounds of that. It's kind of drag stuff out for a bit longer. But like, if you don't do that, then you end up just annoying people.
Yeah. I would say with all of the AI projects we did, we took an attitude of trying to like minimize disruption. So I think we sort of, so we're building an exoskeleton rather than like replacing you is kind of an interesting comment I like, is we want them to augment your work. We don't want them to get in the way. So a key part of when we're trying to sort of bring this into the product was, how do we do it in a way that isn't super noisy, doesn't spam you all the time, doesn't get in the way? Because the worst thing you want in the middle of an incident is to have us annoying you with something that's not helpful. So if you get a list of them, and so we were like, well, getting 20 suggestions is not that useful. Just literally showing one, the highest one, is probably enough to sort of to do that. And I think now we actually recently made another change, which was to, when you're manually linking incidents, you can see a list of the ones we think are related, and you can take a bit more time, because it's normally after the incident you're probably doing it manually and going back through your data and sort of making sure your incidents are linked. I think that's a nice place to sort of be like, oh yeah, actually there are all these kind of patterns. And as Isaac said, extending that later on, we'll sort of look at like, yeah, how do we now take this data and give you like a whole other view onto all of your incidents would be really nice, to be like, these things are clustering around common things. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I think when we get to that, it's going to be really cool.
Yeah. I want to ask about challenges throughout this project, but before I do that, one thing that I'd love to know is, how frustrating was this for you as engineers? So like, Isaac, I think you just mentioned this. Typically you spend a week, few days building a thing, you do a really good job, you put it out, that's it. Like, you know, obviously there's some post-launch work to be done, but generally speaking, you put your best foot forward, the results show. This is different in that, or seems that it's different in that you can do the best work of your career and the outputs are not very good. So how frustrating is that, or is it frustrating as an engineer? And how different is that, compared to your typical project?
I mean, I got this to be just about working, and then I went off to not one, but I thought, I was like, great, job done here. Yeah, this is fantastic. And then it's like, make it.
I think actually this one wasn't probably as frustrating as some of the other ones, because the prompt engineering part, I think Ed had done a lot of work on that to begin with, which was the sort of taking the information related to an incident, pumping it in, and knowing what is effective to group those things. I think a lot of that work had been done already, which for me, that bit in other features has been the frustrating part. The result part, I don't think it was too bad on this one. It was a little frustrating that you want everything to be useful to people. And when it can't be, or it's not, you feel like it's kind of on you. But the part here that's doing all the work is this black box. Whatever you do, you're still reliant on this black box that is supplied to you. And I think that is frustrating, because you can't go fix it to tell it to be right. You have to sort of work around the edge of that and do your best to sort of tease it to do the right thing, which is particularly in prompt engineering, we see all the the funny workarounds of bribing it with offers of money and whatever to try and do a better job, which people do. So it's kind of that's a bit frustrating.
Yeah, I think the interesting about this is that there isn't prompt engineering in the same way.
No,
it's because you're not in if you're talking to ChatGPT, right? That is a prompt, and you're telling it, you're asking it a question, it's giving you back an answer. And with similarity stuff, you're not actually doing, the AI is doing much less work for you. It's like when you say, "Hey ChatGPT, who won the Super Bowl?" and it does a first step, which is it translates my words into some kind of magic structure, and then that's what it uses internally, and then the other end it spits it back out into language for me. And all we're asking is that very first bit where it takes my lump of text and it turns it into some numbers under the hood. And because we're only doing that, there's not you can't give it extra help, right? Mm-hmm. If you put the same text in being "Hello, please tell me how similar this is to something else," that's not going to help, because if that text is fixed, it will just make all of the inputs look the same.
Yeah.
And so you can't do this stuff where you're this is it's the most important thing ever that you must write it like this, right? There's a lot of these weird tricks you can do with the summarization stuff, right? We're saying, here is some information about an incident. Here is what I'd like you to do. Please do it for me. That's not what we're doing here. We're instead saying, here is some information. Please summarize it into numbers. And so you can decide what to include and what not to include. But there's not really can I tell it that it's the world will end if it does this badly, right? Which you can do it in summarization, right? You can tell the GPT the world will end if you do a bad job of this, right? Or maybe it'll work better. There's any weird things. Whereas with this, there just isn't that weird stuff. It's just not relevant. And so I think the problem more is are follow-up titles relevant? Are they not relevant? Are actions relevant? If you have lots of custom fields, are they useful to include, or are they not useful to include? So those questions. But then I think really the big question is how is it useful in the product, and where do we put it? And it's I think the exoskeleton thing you're saying, how do we work out the version of this which feels like it's just a gentle hand on your back push you in the right direction, rather than a robot, rather than being Clippy, right? Clippy from the 90s when I was at school, I remember Clippy just being here's some irrelevant information for you. It would just turn up in the middle of your presentation being "Hey, have you considered?" And I'd be "Yes, go away." Right? So how do we make it feel really nice? And that honestly is the hard part.
I love that you said that was the hard part, because naturally my question is going to be, so how did we respond to that, or how did we consider that? Isaac, I know that you backed out a little earlier on.
That's a really easy answer.
So Rob, maybe you can answer that. How did we avoid being Clippy? Not to pile on here. Everybody loves Clippy, I hope, or has fond memories of Clippy. but yeah, how did we avoid something that felt like it was injecting itself at the wrong moment and with like stuff that just wasn't really helpful at that time?
Yeah, I think the interjecting at any moment thing, we cunningly avoided, but triggering, we sort of trigger, there's, when do you calculate whether something similar is another part of this, is that like at the beginning of an incident, every incident will look like the beginning of every other incident. So it's not pretty useful. So we sort of delay trying to do that calculation until we have a bit of information. And then equally, if you waited until the end of an incident, is it useful anymore? Was the other question of like, by telling you right at the end, oh, by the way, if you'd known this half an hour ago, you could have solved this incident in 5 minutes. That again is not a great feeling. So it was a bit of a balancing act, I think, of just seeing when we make an update and when we change the incident in some way, like we get additional data in, are we confident that we're going to be finding a match? And putting in a series of rules behind the scenes of like, have we suggested something to you already in the past 5 minutes? So like, rather than keep suggesting other ones, have you accepted or rejected a bunch? And kind of taking that into account so we don't keep annoying you. And keeping the messaging kind of, we've had a big push for sort of reducing the noise that we put into Slack. So sort of making sure that we're not super massive message taking up all the real estate of the sort of the screen. So if you're involved in an incident, you're not distracted and taken away from whatever you're doing. But equally, anyone else who's involved can see that. And I think threading the information was the other thing. So having a very simple single line and then showing that additional information to you sort of in a thread, so you can kind of take your time to go through that. Is it actually helpful to me? And we let people sort of, yeah, just dismiss it and it goes away. That's the easy thing as well. So rather than have it hang around. I think, yeah, again, like, I guess it's just, it was a case of a lot of dog fooding, a lot of people giving us feedback, trialing with a few customers who were sort of happy to take these early kind of AI sort of experiments, and speaking to them about how they found it, has it been useful? And seeing across the data, like, how often would we, I think we did a couple queries of like, had we had these settings, how often would we have suggested something? So taking that backlog of data we have and being like, how much would we have spammed you in an incident, and being like 20 times, okay, maybe we need to tone that back a bit. So yeah, I think that the number of variables to tweak is quite high, which probably again why it felt a bit hard. But just, yeah, taking time, making sure you speak to people mainly is kind of the best way, I think. Yeah.
I think I want to like emphasize the like tooling thing there as well, right? Like the fact that if your feedback loop is like you make some changes and then you wait a week,
oh, yeah,
that there are ways you can, like, you can, if you have like a year of history, you can ask the question, if we'd been doing this for the last year, what would have happened? And that you can run that in like, you know, 20 minutes. So like finding those ways in which you can simulate it and kind of go back through time and figure out what would have happened had this been there. I think those have been really powerful for a lot of AI features, where it's like, it just lets you kind of go through a cycle of, oh, that's not good enough, try this, that's not good enough. Like, it lets you do that in a kind of hourly cycle rather than like a week's or months.
Gotcha. I think we both have answered this throughout this conversation, but what was the biggest challenge for each of you throughout the related incidents project?
Not in like it's a bad way. I think coming to it, so I came, was I away?
You were in Japan, yeah.
Oh, that was it. I was having a great time in Japan. So I came,
oh, man.
Coming back to this was a cultural shock. Yeah, I think that was the thing, coming midway through and trying to get quickly up to speed. That was a, sort of, for me, a bit of a challenge. And again, on a thing that I hadn't particularly used or known about. So embeddings were new to me. We're using OpenAI's APIs, and how does that work, and kind of how it's all structured. But saying that, I don't think it took me long at all, really. I think we, even though you were sort of in experiment mode of kind of proving it works, I think we had a really solid base to kind of take and run with. So it was sort of like productionizing that was not too bad. I think the knowing when I was done and when we were done is probably the hardest bit. Because all of these things you can tweak forever. And like that painter, presumably, like the last brush stroke will ruin your painting. It's like, okay, this is fine. We're happy now just to like do this, like keep this as it is. So yeah, that's, I found that quite hard.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the same thing, but I think it's like knowing what was good. I think because it's actually hopefully relatively rare that you have an instant like that repeats itself. And so it's like, when is this valuable? When this worked well, it's like magical. And like, this is so cool. But like, you get that those moments are much less frequent than for say like session follow-ups, which you did afterwards. Like literally every instance I'm in, at the end of it, I get a thread with like the things I forgot to make a follow-up. I'm like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Whereas like, I get that moment with race instance, but I get it like every 2 weeks.
It's much rarer.
And so like when you want a feature which like only comes up very rarely, but when it does, it's like, I think it's kind of harder to know that you're like, to be confident that you're doing the right thing. And I am now quite confident that because it's been, you know, we've been running this for ourselves for like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
And in that time, you know, I've seen like it be really useful like 4 or 5 times. But because, you know, that's like once every 3 weeks, it is quite hard to be like, yeah, I feel really good about this. That's kind of like, that's the problem we have, I guess.
I know that compared to the other features that we released as a part of this launch, related incidents probably has like the lightest weight touch of AI, but still like it's still an element of it. And I know that things like prompt engineering are still very new. So what was it like building out a feature that incorporates elements of AI, which is still very new, learning how to navigate that while also learning how to build out the feature? Like you're doing these things simultaneously. So how do you manage that?
I think with this one, like we've known that there are, people have been telling us and we've known that instants are related to each other.
Sure.
Like the same thing breaks twice or more than twice. Mm-hmm. And like, we know that this is the case. We basically felt we wanted a feature which was like, you could join up your incidents and would help you be like, oh, this is a repeat thing. And we've wanted to build that for a long time, but we didn't really have a good story of how to spot those things. And so honestly, like AI turning up and being like, oh, I do that incredibly well, I find that really easy, was like, thank God for that, right? I feel like last time we talked about build versus buy. Honestly, this is kind of that, right? It's like, in the past, we'd looked at this and gone like, oh, yikes, working out if two things are similar, build sounds real hard. Like, I don't fancy, you know, building some massive model to do blah, blah, blah. Like, you look at it and you go, no. And now I can spend literally like $10 a month on something absurdly cheap. Give us OpenAI and they'll do it for us. And so it's like, it really does feel like this is a new world of possibility that's like opens up. And I thought this is maybe slightly different to the like prompt engineering-y stuff, because the prompt engineering was much, much simpler on this similarity stuff. And so I feel like the amount of effort you put in is much lower in order to get something incredibly cool back out, particularly compared to like the summaries. So summaries, I was there for all the prompt engineering and we did a lot of iterations. There was a lot of effort, a lot of like, oh, this works for this, but not for this. And a lot of these like cycling through it again and again, trying to get something which felt really good. Whereas for this, I think we got to a place where we were like, this can find patterns really well, super quickly. And the question then was like, when is the pattern useful and timing it right? And so I felt like for this, it was a much more traditional project, if that makes sense. And it had less like AI complexity.
Yeah, I would say the like complexity came from like the sort of actual technical challenge of what do you do with that embedding afterwards, like storing it. Can we have all of our incidents generate a bunch of embeddings? Because you kind of get a history of them as for each incident, we're sort of generating a history. How do you generate all that and backfill them? And it was kind of more normal technical challenges. Once we got that prompt, sort of
how do you take an incident and turn it into a big wall of text?
Yeah. Yeah. In a sensible way.
I'd love to know how we actually built this. So Isaac, I know that you basically sort of laid the groundwork, and Rob, you took it from there. So could you maybe, Isaac, let's just start with you. How did we actually build related incidents from a technical perspective?
Yeah, so I think this doesn't neatly divide into two halves. I'll talk about the first half. But okay. Yeah, the first half is like, for every incident in every organization that uses us that are happy for us to use AI features on them, we will generate an embedding, which is just like a list of numbers. I think it's like 1,536. you can give it any more text up to a certain length, and it will give you back this 1,536 numbers. And then the question then is, that's like step one, is like, first of all, can I take an instant, turn it to wall of text, give the wall of text to OpenAI, they give us back this big pile of numbers. So there was kind of just like a step of like, cool, let's just like have some code which sits there doing that every time there's like a significant change for an instant. So like the status changes or there's a big update, we'll regenerate those numbers. And then the second part is like, well, you have a big wall of numbers. You have like a big table, if you can think about it. You have every instant down the side, and across the top, you've got like 1,536 columns of numbers. And there are, so kind of, it's kind of quite simple math. If you imagine it only being like three numbers, you can kind of imagine how you plot them into a cube. And then you say, if the two dots within the cube are close to each other, they're probably quite similar. And there's like, it's called cosine distance. There are like three different metrics, which you can, three different definitions of like how far apart things are in many dimensional spaces. I had a quick look at like, which one should we use? And it kind of seems like the answer is like, no one seems to care. Like all three of them are like, fine. So like pick the one which was easiest to use, which is called cosine similarity. And that one, like, it's basically taking the thing in a cube and doing it in a very many dimensional cube, which I can't picture in my head, but you know, a computer can work out a number. And so then what you have is you have an algorithm which can say, I have two instants here, give me a number between 0 and 1, which will tell me how similar they are. And once you've got that, then you've got this tool where you can say, cool, I'm in an instant right now, tell me what things are similar to me. And you can kind of go and get in inside the cube, and you can look around yourself and just see like what's the other closest dot in that cube, and that is your like most similar instant. And then at that point, you just have this like big pile of data, and you can do stuff like, are there patterns? Are there little clusters of stuff? And you can kind of start looking at it and saying, how good is the quality of my numbers? So you, that's the point where you've had to review how good is my prompt, because you say, you take all of our data for our own instance, and which we know quite well, you throw it into this model, you find the things which are all similar to each other, and you say, is that true? Is that right? Is it like looking at the right things here? And that's your like evaluation of, is it any good? And then honestly, once we had a decent version of that, we could just run it for all the people who adopted it. At that point, you have like the foundations, you have the toolkit basically of like, I have two instants, are they similar or not? And that's the point when I was like, well, cool. Welcome back from holiday, Rob. Work out if we can do something actually useful with this, not just technically cool.
Yeah. Fun. Yeah, I think we're quite lucky as well. And like technology wise, there's a whole bunch of things sprung up around this already. Even though like AI and all this kind of thing is quite new, like we could carry on using Postgres, which is really handy. There's a thing called PG Vector, which handles these embeddings, are basically a very long vector, just like a series of numbers. So we could use all that. And then it was kind of a case of plugging it into our core infrastructure and being like, when we change the incident, do we spot any similarities? So we use a search, which is basically just like a normal query, so a normal SQL query, which happens to do cosine similarity across the vector, and you can pop out basically events that we can use to drive the rest of what we want to do. So most of our stuff is kind of event driven. Makes it really nice and easy to kind of build all these separate sort of parts. So we have an event for a vector has changed, so we need to go update our thing. We have an event for, hey, I found some matches, and then we have an event for basically, now that I have these matches, what do I do? And that's the kind of the key one that we would take and be like, in this incident, we know that there are matches. How do we want to approach this? Do we want to suggest them to the person? Do we want to ignore it because we've already just suggested one? Do we need to like kind of work out how many of these have been rejected, and are we annoying someone, kind of thing? So then we build all that logic in, and we kind of trigger our integration of posting a message in Slack. And then depending on what the user does, we will build an actual link. So we have another table which represents kind of a concrete version of, yes, the user has approved this. So if you say yes or no, we do various things. And it's quite fun because we have a pulse channel of when people interact with these things, we can see whether they said yes or no. And we also get events for how similar they were. So we can kind of
have that going in the background, and it's been really fun. Like across all of these AI features, we have a big AI pulse channel where we can see all the sort of interactions that are going on. People going, no, that's not very similar and not very useful. Or yes, that was really great. So that's great to see.
And last thing before we wrap, I'm a customer or I'm a prospect and I'm saying, this looks great, but why should I use this? Like, what am I going to get out of related incidents? What would be your, I would say 10-second pitch, but in as many words, what would your response be? What can people expect to get out of this? What's the value of related incidents?
The magic of AI is it's this, like, it can know a lot of stuff, and it can know a lot more than any one human can know. And so the cool thing here is if this spots something which I didn't know happened, and it tells me, oh, someone on a different team who you haven't spoken to in the last few weeks saw a very similar problem last week, and it puts me in touch with them. And I think that's the kind of thing which is like, it's really hard to do as a human. No organization has like one person who knows everything that's going on and can, you know, say, Kelsey, you should talk to Sam about this because he fixed this last week for a different problem, right? And having an AI which can do that is like, you literally can't do it with humans. And I think that's the like really cool stuff in all these AI features is when you see something and you're like, if I had unlimited time, I could also do that, but I don't have unlimited time. And so I'm really appreciating that like this computer can do it for me. I think it's really like about taking things which previously were like infeasible and making them incredibly easy. And that's like been the real magic of like all four of them. But I think that's kind of the like core of the magic here.
Yeah, I think it's a big thing of when a company scales, you find a lot of this stuff that was very easy when you were smaller and could all talk to one another, share channels and everything. And then when you get to a certain point, you're kind of cross vertical, just doesn't happen as much, but there's going to be stuff happening. Or even an incident. So I think it's also key when like the incident is going on right now still. So we will still spot the similar incident is happening elsewhere in your business that you might not have been aware of. So if you're in a completely different unit, there might be knock-on effects that you're experiencing. And rather than waste two sets of teams' time trying to fix this, fixing the same thing, we can do that link out and you can go, they're already on it, or like we can help them now. Or they might not even have been aware that we were affected, which is the other thing, right? They might be blindly fixing stuff without knowing that it's affecting us. So there's all that kind of bringing you all together on the same thing, which is great. Mm-hmm.